the 2019 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars selected.
The Jacksonville Jaguars took a chance on me, picking me up at 7. So
Josh Allen, defensive end, Kentucky.
I knew once then I'm gonna do my all just to bring that standard back high and bring this team success. And hopefully I can be here for a very long time and help now, next year, 3 years, 10 years, who knows how long. But I just want to leave a big impact on the city.
Major Jag alert!
Who want to eat a W?
Duval!
They blitz again. He dropped the throw against the blitz. Scrambles. Just got it off. It's picked off! The ball is picked off and intercepted! Josh Allen dropped into coverage and intercepted it at the 30-yard line of the Buffalo Bills.
Major Jag alert!
Defense was phenomenal. When you think about it, we played a lot of zone coverage. We've been working so hard at it, keeping the ball in front, tackling. And then we put pressure all over that quarterback and finally got some turnover.
Dropping the throw is Allen. Looking, fires in the middle of the field. The ball's intercepted. Picked off by the Jags. The Jags are going to run it back to the 27-yard line. Rudy Ford with a pick.
Yeah, we made a switch at nickel the other day, and he's a guy that we brought in as a free agent. He's one of the fastest players, if not the fastest player on our team, and he's earned that right. You know, just miss him on kicking a little bit because we had to take him off some of that, but he's all over the field, and he's a violent player.
Yes, sir, we definitely did. I feel like we came out to play. Played as a team. The DBs really came out and locked everybody up, and that really freed up the rush. So I feel like it was a great team effort today.
Major Jag alert!
Josh Allen keeps it on the quarterback keeper, and a nice job by DeJuan Smooth. Did the ball come out?
It did.
The ball came out after the tackle. They're sorting it out.
Josh
and
Allen.
And the Jags have it! DeJuan Smooth forced it, and the Jags take over.
Yes, because he's getting some complimentary help. Yeah, Taven Bryan gets pressure. Roy Roberts. Robertson got some pressure inside, and same with Jahad Ward. So they'll be the first ones to tell you, you know, Josh Allen wasn't not getting pressure early in the year. It's just he was able to step up in the pocket, and now we're getting pressure from inside as well.
Long snap count. Play fake. Allen dropped the throw.
Major Jag alert!
He's going to get hit. He's going to get sacked. They got it from behind. That time Josh Allen got Josh Allen inside the 25-yard line.
Yeah, how about that? I just want to add on, I just heard the end of your conversation as I put the headsets on about our crowd.
Come on, somebody.
You know, we do this for a lot of reasons. We have an incredible owner, and I'm just telling you, what goes on around this place is we want to win for Jacksonville so bad.
Duval!
The former players of this organization, the city of Jacksonville, and just to see them enjoy a win at home, we just got to get more of them.
Scrambling to his right now, still looking downfield, lots of time. Now Smooth forces the issue. That ball is going to be incomplete. Incomplete! Incomplete! The Jags will take over on down.
How about them Jags?
With 1:02 to play in the ball game.
Major Jag alert!
Just want to give a shout out to all the fans, man. This year hasn't gone exactly as we planned, but you guys have came out every home game, supported us through thick and thin. There's a lot more of these wins ahead, for sure. Duval!
Come on, somebody!
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Tom McManus, and E to the T.
All right, here we go. That's the way to get them started on a Friday. Woo! E to the T.
Man, that's my joint. Jeez. Right there.
Major Jag alert.
Come on,
a lot of it going down this weekend. Tommy Mack is back.
What's up?
It's been a fortnight since we've seen you, Tom.
Morning. Has it?
It has been.
What does fortnight mean?
Two weeks.
Is it really?
The only reason I know that is because of Wimbledon.
Oh.
Wimbledon's played over 2 weeks, and they always...
Over a fortnight.
That was my mom's favorite sporting event.
Oh, no kidding.
When she was alive. Love you, Mom.
Yeah.
Love Wimbledon. Men's singles. We would race home from church.
Okay.
We'd go to church early on Sunday morning. Men's singles, Wimbledon. Yes, the fortnight. At the All England
Breakfast with Wimbledon, yes.
We never did the breakfast strawberries and cream nonsense.
Oh, no?
But, yes.
Yeah.
I loved watching Wimbledon final back in the day.
Oh, listen, we went up to when I was playing with the team, we would when the girls were up in Fernandina, we'd go up there to check them out and watch them play. I mean, they were fun to watch. Good athletes, too. I actually met Venus Williams' dad up there once.
Did you?
Yeah, Richard. I know that movie's out. I didn't see it or not.
The movie's out. I don't know if I want to see it
or not. I don't want to see it. I mean, they're a great story, but now it's coming out that it might not be the totally true story and all that stuff. Whatever.
And what
but anyway,
is
he
the
was
totally true story.
He was
on
a pretty,
anything,
and this was before Venus was anything really. Must have been 97, something like that. And I'm walking with him. He'd heard about the Jags, and we went to the AFC Championship the year before, and blah, blah, blah. We're talking. And he's like, yeah, that's my girl, Venus. I got another younger one, Serena. And I looked at Venus. She must have, I don't know, must have been 16, 17 maybe or something like that. Mm-hmm. And her leg striations, the muscles in her legs were, like, just incredible. And that's the only thing that really stood out.
Yeah.
She was practicing. She wasn't playing.
Sure.
You know, warming up or whatever. But mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and to see them live, that's what I was saying. I mean, can you imagine being live at Wimbledon, one semifinal or final, and seeing these athletes go at it? I've never seen a live professional, other than the girls, you know, like a professional one-on-one where everything's on the line. That must be really intense.
Big time.
You know?
Flagler girls were five-time national champs.
Oh, wow.
In a row when I was going there.
Yeah.
You know, it was NIAA Division II, but you know, it's still, you're national champs, man. They had a squad. Yeah. So we used to, it was like a cool thing to do. We'd go down and watch the tennis team.
Well, to be blatantly honest, Kournikova was there, and that's why we wanted to go see
that
her.
Was a cool
Although
thing
she
well.
Was probably too young for any one of us. We were just looking out of one eye instead of both.
Sure. There you go. Venus was obviously a little bit older, so she kind of burst on the scene a little sooner.
Right.
And everyone's like, damn. And he's like, no, the other one.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's like, no, the other one. Wait till the other one. And it was like, come on, really?
Yeah.
Like,
and she is. Serena's phenomenal.
Yeah, I guess so.
He had that right.
They all had that right.
Yeah, no doubt. They phenomenal.
So how was your Thanksgiving?
Awesome Thanksgiving. Yeah. We had, I let the diet go for like 10 days and it felt good.
Go.
Yeah, it felt good. Not totally go, but pretty much. I'll tell you what I did do that I'll never do again. I'm not going to say where I was because the food was incredible. It's not their fault. I ordered it. So we went to lunch, me and my girls and my wife. And I ordered a root beer out of the bottle. I haven't had soda in, like, I don't know, like a lot. Like, if I have a soda, I have a little bit of Sprite. I just got soda out of my life. And I drank that whole thing along with, you know, a couple burgers and fries and whatnot. That whole day, I felt like awful. It felt like straight sugar. Like, I was taking a packet of sugar and just throwing it in my mouth. And holy cow, my stomach was just a mess for the rest of the day. But no, it was great. We had a lot of family time, a lot of friend time, a lot of football. You know, watching and just a lot of good food, man.
Hey, you don't need to drink soda, man. Drink water and just suck down a couple of those giant pixie sticks and you'll be fine.
That's right. Or mix them in the water, whatever. But it was a great time. You know what? I love Thanksgiving. It's a great time to reflect and be thankful for, you know, all your blessings around. It's good stuff.
All right. Indeed, it is. It's our first show with you in the month of December here.
Oh.
So it's December already and we still have 6 games to go.
Yep.
You know, so
do we really?
We do, Tom. We do.
You know, I when you just said that, I thought you don't like in daylight saving. You know, sometimes it'll be 6:30 and dark. You're like, man, it feels like 9:30.
Yes.
I wish like the reverse for the Jags. Like we just hurry up. Like this week's the last week.
Right.
So we move on.
I want them to get the experience. I want Trevor Lawrence to get the experience of playing
of course,
in these last games. But can we somehow? You know,
expedite.
Is there a pill you could take? Is there a giant pixie stick you
could
consume?
Can they change it and flip it all around and then we're, you know, talking great about them? You never know.
If they won 2 of the last 6, any 2 of the last 6, I think most Jaguar fans would have a better feeling than they do now heading into the offseason. That's not great. 4-13's not great.
Yeah.
But at this point, how many games would you predict that they win the rest of the way?
Maybe none.
I wouldn't predict.
I think
they could win. They could beat the Jets.
They could.
You know.
Will they?
No, that's the
question. They could have beat 3 teams that they've lost to.
They could have beat many of the teams they've
maybe
lost.
Maybe 5
to.
Of the teams
I'm with
lost
you, but I'm saying, don't. You know, I'm not going to write off the possibility that on any given Sunday they could manage to
absolutely
put it all together. I mean, this given Sunday, Tony, is a tall task.
Tall task. OBJ not practicing yesterday could be a little bit of a help, but you're still talking about Cooper Kupp and, you know, it's Van Jefferson is
come on.
It's plenty.
He's
right.
Like
he's still.
By the way, Tutu Atwell. Anybody heard his name since they drafted him in the second round?
Don't remember.
We better not be hearing his name this weekend.
Yeah, don't need any of that. But yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, and that's just talking about their offense. I mean, that defensive line can. crush you for the LA Rams. We all know with Aaron Donald, I think I've talked to you about this before, Tommy. When the Rams game is on, when they're on Sunday night, Monday night, and you're sitting down to actually watch it, I can't watch anything but 99.
No, I know.
I'm watching the game, I'm just like, what's he going to do to his guy on this play?
Or two guys.
You know, seven or eight out of those 10 times, he will just manhandle whoever it is that's in front of him. It's fun to watch. Not going to be a whole lot of fun to watch this Sunday, you wouldn't think, but it's a big-time test for this offensive line.
Oh, no doubt. And then you got Leonard Floyd. I mean, he's a very good, you know, pass rusher. And Jalen, of course. And if I'm Rams, I'm like, who do I want to shut down? Who do I want to take out of the game? I'm putting Jalen on him, and he's going to take him out of the game.
Yeah, they've been using him differently this year.
No, they have. I noticed.
Like, kind of like a rover.
I'm just saying, if going into the Jags game, I'd be like, Jalen, who do we – who should we shut? You know,
I don't
let's
think
shut
there's
him
like a guy that rises to that level, though.
No.
Like, who do you?
Yeah, why would you
who
waste
do you need
it?
To shut out. I he's got to cover somebody.
Well,
but,
of course.
You know, it's not like our leading receiver here in Jacksonville feels like every week it's 4 for 45. You know,
and late in the game.
Yeah,
when it doesn't really matter. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't.
2 weeks ago with Marvin Jones Jr., that's what it was. You know,
the last drive. Wow,
no, by the way, I don't know if you've heard. Nobody tougher. Nobody plays harder. Nobody's tougher than Laquon Treadwell. In this league. Can't imagine anybody playing any harder than Laquon Treadwell. We heard that statement.
Who said that?
Oh, Mr. Meyer. Coach Meyer.
Wow.
Said that. Hey, look, I'm not doubting that he does
play hard.
Why
isn't he playing all year?
Well, you know.
Why doesn't he have 10 touchdowns?
What don't know.
I mean.
Not. You can play hard and be tough and not have the. Oh, look, Laquon Treadwell's been a guy who's been around the league a bunch of places. And a
lot of talent, but.
Right. Well, the point being, he's never lived up to his first-round draft pedigree.
Right.
You know, so, look, for the Jags right now, they'll take any production they can get from anybody. And Tony and I talked about this at the beginning of the week, Tom. He had a decent game. I mean, by Jag standards, we can't, like, be expecting 120-yard performances from these receivers.
No. They don't throw it down the field enough.
A whole bunch of combination reasons why that's not going to happen. But Treadwell, look, if you got a team of a bunch of guys who can't get separation, why not throw it to the biggest one out there, right? You know, now, he occasionally, you know, it's not like they never get separation, but they can't consistently do it, it seems.
Right.
So if you're going to have some contested balls, Laquon Treadwell's a big body. He can box you out. He can go up and get it, you know. So why wouldn't you try to utilize
him? I agree. I actually was, you know, I've been thinking all week, like, hey, you know, is it time to, you know, look, David Austin's making some plays for you. Treadwell's making some plays for you. Is it time for them to, you know, see a lot more time? And then maybe, you know, Jones comes off the bench, Chenault comes off the bench, or whoever you put in. On, you know what I mean? Is it time for that yet?
I have a hard time.
What do you have to lose at this point?
Because Jones and Chenault will still be here next year.
Right. Chenault's going to be part of it, you know, going forward. He's you know, baked in labor costs, not that expensive. You've got to figure out a way.
All right, he's my number three then, I guess. I don't know.
I hear you. I hear you. There's got to be – you know, some reward for performance. But Tavon Austin caught a nice touchdown. It's not like Tavon Austin's been lighting up the box score.
Yeah. The text line, by the way, pointing out that Tutu Atwell had surgery in November.
Oh, did he? Oh.
So it would be a real, like, if.
But, prior to that, I didn't even realize
I don't remember hearing his name
prior
early
to that,
this year either.
I don't think he did anything.
Let me ask you guys a question. So on the throw to Tavon Austin, which was a great throw, everyone made it out to be like, even nationally, I saw one guy like, oh, this is a once-in-a-lifetime.
Orlovsky,
for a young kid to make, for the rookie to make, it's a great throw. It's a great, well, call it great, I don't care, but really, is it really that great? You know, and hey, those are glimpses that we hope turn into more and more and more. But even last week, it was one drive that was impressive, that drive. And by the way, that was the drive they put J-Rob back in, and he ripped off 8 yards, 9 yards, 7 yards, right? And then Trevor made a great throw to the tight end, and then it was a great throw. But was it this transcending, like, not many guys – I heard Michelle say, not many guys make that throw. I'm like, really? You just threw it up high in the back of the end zone over the linebacker, just high enough. Now, granted, Tavon's shorter, so I'll give him a little bit of that. The accuracy was there, but I don't know. It seems – people go, like, he makes a throw. It's like, oh, see, look, see. You know, he's generational. Look at it. It's right there.
Generational throw that was.
You know?
Generational touchdown.
Maybe I'm being, or maybe is it me? Maybe I'm just too hard on the whole thing. Like, just be like, whatever.
I feel like that was a touchdown that defined the era, right there. So maybe you are being too hard. All right. Tutu Atwell, I'm just looking up. I had no idea he was on season-ending injured reserve,
yeah,
obviously.
Neither did I, yeah.
Played 10 offensive snaps.
There we go.
In the first half of the season. Wow. So
impact.
Where'd
impact
he come
player.
From?
Louisville.
Okay.
Louisville.
Yeah.
No. Louisville. Louisville.
Louisville.
Louisville, I believe, is the proper
Let's use player. That fake
I'm
Brian
glad,
Kelly
I'm
accent.
I'm glad to be down here.
For real.
In hey. D-Land, what about D-Land?
In Louisville.
Hey, y'all.
All right, today it's Keys to Victory Friday, as it always is. So summon up your best conjuring and come up with three things that the Jags need to do to emerge victorious against the L.A. Rams this weekend. 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Hit us up on Twitter today at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Meathead55, and at IME2T.
Come on, somebody.
All right, somebody. Let's go. Get E.T. back in his fired up mode.
Come
here.
On now.
There we go.
Don't
right.
take much.
Major Jag alert going on here.
Big bags.
All right, let's get on board. Let's talk a little Jaguar football with Tommy Mack. If you want to get in, you know those ways to do it. Give us your keys to victory as we try to decipher what the Jags can do over the final half dozen games of the season. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
He had his best game of his short career. And, I mean, he attacked the football. He was coming up making tackles. Great play on the interception. He continues to get better every week.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars today on 1010XL.
As Tyson Campbell, Joe Cullen, Jaguars defensive coordinator, was talking about yesterday, you know, I get it. Different positions, different expectations for certain guys. Micah Parsons was thought to be the best defensive player in the draft, right?
So
but,
good.
Like, you want to talk about an impact player. Like, we're all excited in a game where, all right, Tyson Campbell got his first pick. He broke up two other passes. Like,
right.
It's amazing.
No, I know.
Micah Parsons is out there. He seems every sack he seems to get is for like 15-yard loss.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's crazy.
Yeah.
He's got 10 sacks already as
yeah.
a rookie.
He's a disruptor. And not only this, I was watching him. He could take on blocks with just pressing. I mean, he was really impressed. And it's quick. Like, I watched a guard came up on him. He whapped him so fast with his hand, stunned the guy, and then was around him before the guy even knew what hit him. I mean, that's a special strength and talent.
You think about it, Tom. He was supposed to play inside linebacker for them, right? And then DeMarcus Lawrence goes out. He came back last night. Randy Gregory's out. They're like, just go rush the passer for us.
Did they say he's the fastest on the defense or the team or one of the fastest?
I don't know.
Big dude being able to run, man. Speed. If you can play the game, especially in space like that, or you know what I mean, and you can run whole, man, that's just a dangerous weapon.
But regardless, we will take our small incremental positives here. You know, it's what are we going to do? You know, I mean, like, I'm glad Tyson Campbell played a better game than he has been playing up until now.
You know, look, glass half full kind of guy, you know, as my shirt says. But, you know, he's – and I'm agreeing with you. Let's just hope that this is the steps that he keeps taking, right? Because it's one thing about him, it wasn't like he was getting burned. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he's getting toasted. He was there most of the time, close there to make a play. And now it's maybe he's turned that corner. Hopefully.
Maybe.
Then he gets better and better, making plays on the ball.
He didn't come in with the pedigree or the hype of Micah Parsons, not suggesting he has to have that kind of impact
I know what you're
right
saying.
Away. But, you know, you look at the level of that he's playing at, and it's like, damn, man.
Wow. Okay, we'll take our little victories.
I mean, he's playing better than anybody on this defense, you know. I mean, we all love Josh Allen. Micah Parsons has been a beast
this
year.
Comparison.
Joe Cullen, speaking yesterday, talked about the challenge the Jaguars defense will have against the Rams offense this week.
Well, there's a lot, you know, the similarities. You know, they were all under the John Gruden tree, you know, and the Shanahan tree. They all work together. I mean, now you get the motion coming. You got another guy coming back after the motion. So they get your eyes wandering, and all of a sudden the ball's running your gap, and you're over here. You're not looking at your responsibility. So they do a really good job with that, and they have the play action passes off of it. And now they've really added, with Matt Stafford, a guy that can drop back on any down and hit every route. So it's a challenging offense.
Look, it's an offense that has been challenged, though, for the last 3 weeks. Although they scored 26 against Green Bay. They couldn't stop Aaron Rodgers and company.
Yep.
But got pushed around on the line of scrimmage
They did.
Really for 3 weeks in a row now, but particularly those two prior games to that.
Including San Fran, who beat them up pretty good. Of course, we saw them.
Tennessee did the same thing.
Yeah, Tennessee did the same thing.
And kind of an undermanned Tennessee team. Jeffrey Simmons took that offensive line apart.
Oh, totally, totally crushed
in that game.
Yeah, he's a beast.
You know, I don't know who steps up and makes those kind of plays for this team.
How healthy are we on defense? Aren't a lot of guys like questionable? And
Shaq Griffin has not practiced this week. I think
is Griffin Damian playing?
Wilson's been limited.
Yeah,
I saw Hamilton.
Griffin hadn't practiced as of yesterday. Well, I'm trying to remember yesterday's injury.
So hopefully we
bring it up.
But how are we going to cover down, you know, and who are we going to do it with? Look, Higbee's a pretty good tight end too. He's not no slouch, and he's not no Travis Kelce by any means. But you know, he's a very good tight end. They've got a good running back. I think he was listed as question mark. What is his last name? Is it Montgomery? Who's a Henderson Jr.?
Yeah,
Daryl Henderson Jr. Yeah. Right? Is he injured?
He is. He hasn't practiced this week either. Yeah, Sony Michel. Yeah. Look, they're a team
that
doesn't care if they throw it 5-1.
No, right.
Get them prepared to running it. Here's the problem. If you are running it, you know, whoever's running it for the Jags, Devon Hamilton and Malcolm Brown have yet to practice this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Both of them. Miles Jack has yet to practice this week. Shaq Griffin, not as impactful here in the run game, has yet to practice this week. Damian Wilson got in a limited session yesterday.
Yep.
Questionable
to me means you're going to play unless it's a game time and you know that it's a game time decision. I guess.
Yeah, we'll get the official designation on these guys, but those four.
Yep.
The fact that Shaq Griffin had the concussion that caused him to miss and he hasn't got on the practice field.
That's
assuming you're probably not going to have him, and Cooper Kupp's a problem.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh,
that's a much bigger problem than Daryl Henderson.
No doubt.
Or Sony Michel for this team. But I did find it interesting. John Shipley, good friend of the program. What's up, John?
Yeah.
You're listening
what
right
up,
now.
John?
Tweeted this out yesterday about the Jags defense. See if this feels right to you.
Okay.
According to True Media and Pro Football Focus, the Jags are tied for number 7 in the NFL in getting pressure on the quarterback at 10.5% after finishing dead last last year at 6.8%. I mean, it's not like – dead last to 7th sounds like a big deal. Getting pressure on an extra 3.5% of plays. I mean, I don't know if that feels like a big deal, but it says it feels like another piece is still needed, but Joe Cullen's been able to manufacture pressure at a better rate than I expected. Why is Matt Ryan then sitting back there like he's having a picnic in the park, trying to find somebody to throw to?
And for the record, he didn't look good at all.
Matt Ryan?
No, he looked off. I mean, I was like, what?
And
he did have plenty of time, and he still wasn't making throws.
Well, and that's I wonder, did the secondary really, not just Tyson Campbell, but, really
clamped
step
down.
Up?
It sounds like they did. I mean, I don't think he had places to go with the ball sometimes, but he didn't look good at all. Matt Ryan didn't do anything to this defense for the most part.
No, Cordero Patterson.
Cordell.
Did. Without him, I don't think they move the ball.
No,
really, because Mike Davis is not very good.
No, agreed. That Patterson's—he's unbelievable.
Tony. Yeah, I know he's having a terrific season, and nobody has stopped him per se. But he's been a 30-year-old journeyman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he got 6.8 yards a carry against his defense last.
Well,
week.
And we talked to Logs about this on Tuesday, and it was a guy that we talked about throughout the offseason, going into training camp, going through the preseason, couldn't be blocked. Nobody could man up against him. Devon Hamilton is not taking a step forward this year.
Yeah.
And last week, it sounded like he really got handled by that Atlanta offensive line, just asking what happened, why were they getting gashed in the run game, and Logs basically said it starts with what they had at nose.
Wow.
They just weren't getting anything from Devon Hamilton last week. He's on the injury report this week, hasn't practiced yet for this football team, but it may be time to take an extended look at a guy like Gotsis potentially at that nose tackle, at least for now.
Yep.
Maybe that gets him back, because that wasn't an issue 3 weeks ago for this football team.
No.
It popped up last week, though, against the Atlanta Falcons for sure.
Quick note from our man Mike DiRocco just moments ago tweeting out that Shaq Griffin will not make the trip to L.A. This week. So
that's a bummer.
Rams have the number 4 passing offense in the league. Jags top corner will not be on the plane.
Wow.
So. I'm not saying Shaq is going to stop Cooper Kupp with the season he's having, but
he's not.
You want every
he's your best player,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. You want every, and maybe you double Cooper Kupp with two other guys, and you put Shaq Griffin on Van Jefferson if OBJ doesn't play.
Right.
Then you're like, oh, maybe we can
then it
come
works.
Up with a plan here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. It's and what about Brown, Malcolm Brown? Is he not playing the nose? Like if Hamilton's
not
playing
nose. No, he's
been
playing end in the 3-4 more.
But he was a nose with the Saints, wasn't he?
Played a little bit of both.
Oh, he did play both.
Yeah.
Because I would try him in the nose if Hamilton's hurt or whatever, is not doing
the
job.
They're both hurt at the moment.
Yeah, he's hurt too.
That's the problem.
Gotsis, I like Gotsis. He's a tough player. He at least, you know, brings it as best he can. I don't know. Maybe it's put Taven at nose, you know, and just be stand there. You know, don't get blocked.
The spark.
Don't do anything. Just don't let them. Don't let them move you backwards.
Yeah, Taven apparently played pretty well last week again.
Yeah,
I mean that's about a month now that they've gotten good Taven Bryan. Hopefully that continues too.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think Joe. Look, Joe's done a nice job. The defense is, they're up and down. They're up and down. I mean, they can be very good at times, and then you're like, "Sting, here we go!" Like wide open or no pressure or whatever the case may be. I don't want to get into this, but they desperately need another rusher on the outside.
No doubt,
and they're right. And look, Smoot has still got a role on my team. There's no doubt, but I need more of a dominant rusher on that right side.
I feel like that was in deference to me. I feel like you might have been willing to get into it right there. But we have the moratorium on draft talk until.
Oh no, I'm not. Trust me, I don't even watch it enough to be able to say that. Like who that is, I couldn't even tell you. But I know just
Kayvon Thibodeau apparently,
the
Hutchinson
kid.
Guy from Michigan.
Yeah, I watched that game. It was some good college ball last week. Yeah, you know? It was fun to watch. You know,
look, if they're picking in that spot, those guys, you know, in top three, I'm talking about here, those type of players have to be on the radar for this team. You know, you don't get premium pass rushers, although Micah Parsons is like, sometimes you get them.
Yes.
You know, a little bit outside the top three, but nevertheless, you know, typically that's where you got to go. It's supposedly a very deep wide receiver group this year that maybe you can.
Well, we need more weapons, that's for sure.
Grab a couple along the way. Second round, fourth round, something like that.
You know, look, it's just not consistent, right? You see glimpses of it. Everybody's got to get better, including the quarterback. I know no one likes to really say that too much, but he does. He's got to get better as well.
No doubt.
His accuracy issues are a problem. He's got to be more accurate. Do they have to help him out? No doubt they have to help him out. Everyone's got to do their job a lot better for this offense. What are they averaging? 15 points a game? I mean, that makes you want to throw up. I mean, not really, because, you know, I didn't go out drinking last night. But if I did, no, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, it's just like 15. Come on. Really? You can't come up with 21 points? And that's not even a lot in the NFL.
I honestly thought about, at halftime of the game last night, tweeting out, Taysom Hill has 151 yards passing and one touchdown. Will Trevor Lawrence top that this week?
Good question.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
You know, way it's been going, I would bet no.
Yeah.
151's pretty low, but, you know, like he ended up with like 260-something and a couple of touchdowns, also threw four picks. We don't want that.
No, right.
You'll get boat raced.
You know, they've lost three in a row. I mean, they're coming. They're coming. And hopefully we can, we can take the blows early and stand toe-to-toe and be close in the end.
I have nothing from Bernie today, but we will hear from Bev on the other side. Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Awesome.
Speaking yesterday, it's a Keys to Victory Friday, so share your thoughts with us any way you like, including social media, on what the Jags need to do to pull the big upset against the LA Rams this weekend. With Tom McManus, Tony Smith, and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
High formation. Robinson, the running back. They give it to J-Rob. Tries the left side. Dives toward the end zone. Touchdown! A 1-yard touchdown run by James Robinson.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, more on James Robinson coming up here momentarily. A couple of things to clear up first. E.T., you had the holiday weekend off from Come On Somebody, Come On Everybody last week. But we're back here in week 13. Is that correct?
We back in week 13, baby.
What are we doing?
I saw something that inspired me on the text line, and I think it was something that y'all said about Taven playing well. Somebody made a bold prediction that Taven was going to get 3 sacks this week.
Holy cow.
Wow. Did they say he'd get his third sack?
High and high again.
Bold take, Taven Bryan will have 3 sacks this week.
Wow, that's so bold.
That inspired me. I want to hear some more bold takes, some reasonable ones, because that's reasonable. But it's good.
Right. I mean, it's possible. People have gotten three sacks, right? Or more.
I want to hear more, man. Maybe we can bring it.
He had a 2-sack game.
Yeah, all he needs one more.
Maybe we can bring one more. Tom. Let's bring that to fruition, baby. Come on, somebody. Right, so
call 207-7070.
Come on,
and leave ET a message. And or is it 7071?
I'll say it in my head.
Because we're doing that's the J Fund, yeah. Right? We did it this week.
Oh, that's right.
I have done it in 2 weeks, ET. 207-7071. And there leave ET a message with a bold take for the Jaguars for this game this weekend in particular, right?
Somebody.
All right. And your brother Cliff, man. What's up with Cliff?
Oh, man. He hit me up. He sent me this invite. He's like, hey, bro, I'll be home. I'll be home this weekend. I got something going. I need you there. Originally, he wanted me to go do it for him, but then he was like, no, bro, I need you there. I'm like, well, what is it? So he's getting inducted into the Clay County Alumni Hall of Fame this weekend. So
nice.
Very cool. Very cool.
Pretty legit.
Real legit. Pretty
damn right. Legit. Congrats,
very cool.
Bro.
Very cool. Absolutely.
Listen, congrats, I mean, Cliff. I've been here 26 years now. There's a lot of great football that comes out of this area. A lot of great football players. I mean, just incredible. So to have that kind of honor, that's a big honor, man.
Are you in like your local?
I'm a high school Hall of Famer and a Boston College Hall of Famer.
Cool. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's awesome, man.
So, like, is that just like your high school? Is that for all
athletes,
sports?
All
sports?
Yeah, and same with BC. It's the varsity.
I'm just curious, like, what is the – do they weigh it more, like, if you go on to have success collegiately and professionally, or do they weigh more just your accomplishments when you were in high school?
That's a great question. I don't know that
answer. What's your high tackle game in high school? I know you say you had a 22 tackle game at BC.
No, I had a few 25ers.
25ers?
And missing like 3 or 4. Like, come on, you could have 30 in a game easily.
don't have a number for high school though.
I don't.
Easy on the.
Did I say something?
You might have. You said something.
I'm sorry.
There, salty.
Okay. No, I'm not salty about it. It was, you know.
All right.
But, I don't know. Half, you know, a dozen or two, something like that. No, I probably didn't have 20 in high school. No, maybe like 15, maybe.
Shorter clock, so.
Yeah. I mean, I had a, I remember having a fumble recovery for a touchdown and an interception and like 12 or 13 tackles in a game once. So something like that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Probably get you a scholarship.
yeah. Thank goodness.
It'll help, yep.
It was either that or the service, so I'm glad I stuck with football, mm-hmm. Although I do love our veterans out there. And the troops.
No doubt. We just heard the highlight there from James Robinson coming back in from the break. Darrell Bevell, the Jaguars offensive coordinator, was asked about running back James Robinson yesterday. He said that he's still just not at 100% for the football team.
I mean, you got to give James a lot of credit. I mean, he's not 100%. And, the guy is, I hate to use the terms, but, he is a warrior. And he's fighting through the heel, the knee. He's out there for his teammates. And he's doing the best that he can. And the best is, his best is pretty good. We know that he's got more in it, as well when he's fully healthy. But I love the competitiveness that he's showing.
So his best is pretty good, he's saying, right now, I think. As he's and look, he's clearly not fully the James Robinson we got used to seeing last year.
No, and you could tell that something was bothering him last week, but he still averaged 5.1 yards carry.
No,
you know?
I'm with you, but it's more, Tom, that it's like he has gotten loose on a couple of nice, 15-yard runs or whatever, but – typically he never gets stuffed. I mean, last year, honestly, how many times could you remember him getting stuffed right at the line of scrimmage? He always pushes the pile a yard or two extra.
No, you're right. You're right.
There's a little of that going on.
There is a little bit of that going on. Look, I think at the end of the day, he's. I mean, they like him, of course. He is a tough guy and he's a tough runner and he's their best player. It took them a while to figure that out, but I think they want speed. I think if he was a home run hitter, they would be praising him. Pretty good wouldn't be pretty good. It'd be outstanding. This kid's unbelievable. He's one of, and I get that. But, man, what that guy has brought to the table, not just running the ball, catching the ball of the field, he's clearly your number one player. And, I don't think they really like him. I really don't. I think if ETN was healthy, he'd be their starting tailback. If he, worked out like, became an NFL player like they all expected him to be or expect him to be. I really do. I think it's one of those things like, we inherit him. Yeah, we like him. Yeah, he's a tough kid. Yeah, he's good player, but he's not really our kind of player. We want a home run hitter. We want speed, speed, speed. But at the end of the day, does it look, everyone wants a Fred Taylor. He was incredible. Freddie was absolutely incredible. I'm only using him as an example. There's plenty more, but who cares if your back's averaging 5 yards a carry and he has for 2 years and you get something going and you drive scoring touchdowns? Look, I don't care if you score them in one play or six plays or 12 plays, as long as you're scoring them.
I think, though, and I tend to agree with you, but I think what people look at, because his average is up there with some of the best, right, over the last couple of years. But when you look at the top backs in the game, in no particular order, right, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, they can all take it to the house.
To the house. Right? I agree.
All those guys. And while he may end up in that same category, I feel like coaches will live with the, okay, got stuffed, and rips off a 15-yard run. You know what I mean? And that where if you're James Robinson, it's fantastic what he does in moving the chains, but you always hear that defensive coordinators say, let's make this team have a 12 to 15-play drive and march it down the field and give more opportunities for the offense to make a mistake, for us to make a play, where if you just hand it to Dalvin Cook and he hits the crease tone and takes it to the house, it's over.
Well, and I get it. You know, from a coaching staff perspective, you get it, that they wanted a guy like ETN to give him that explosiveness. Okay, it makes sense. That's the NFL game, is not having to go into a game and say, we're going to have to put together 10, 12, 15-play drives. They don't have that. Yep. They don't have it anywhere on the field. They don't have anybody that threatens you over the top. They just don't.
Right.
Right? So they know going in week to week, if we're going to score, we're probably going to have to put together 10, 12, 15-play drives.
Right.
And the guy that's going to drive that is James Robinson.
Right.
You know, like, he's the one who gives you a chance to do that kind of thing, because he does go out there and get you 5 yards a pop when you give him the football. They don't have the explosiveness. I get it. They want it. They don't have it. That if they don't fully commit to Robinson, even when he's healthy, it feels like is a little baffling with what they have going on offense
right
now.
Do you think, and it's kind of a dumb, like, do you think they think, but do you think they think he's their best player?
No, they probably think Trevor Lawrence is their best player, honestly. And I'm okay with that, but in terms of being their most effective guy at this moment in time, you'd have to be pretty crazy not to think that James Robinson is your best player.
For the year. Mm-hmm. Year to date, who's the best offensive player
James
on this
Robinson.
Team?
James Robinson.
Well, they've.
I get it.
Why not build around that? Like, that makes no sense.
And they've
it
never
no sense.
Built around that, obviously.
No, they
and,
don't.
And look, I don't have a problem if you want a complimentary piece, like people compare it to Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara. And Mark Ingram didn't have a big game last night, but he's more of a thunder to Alvin Kamara's lightning.
Get it.
And that's fine, right. You know, but and the desire to have that, but. You know, when this is what you've got and your offense is struggling like it is, you got to ride that horse, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, how do you not see that as an offensive coordinator? How do you not know that he's your best player? I don't care who you want to be your best player. I don't care who you hoped to be your best player. Who is your best player? And why aren't you focusing on building everything around him? Yes, you want your quarterback to do well, of course. But who – at the end of the day, you want to win. And the best way for this team to win and score points is through who? It ain't through 16. He's a compliment to him, definitely, and big a part of the offense. But your best player is James Robinson.
So
and
you're
not
saying
just
don't
run...
take him off the field and put, like, Dari Ogunbowale in at the 5 or the 10?
You know, I mean, that – and by the way, you know, I didn't hear the actual quote, but that Urban didn't know – that. See, this whole thing is just – it's bizarre to me. How does Urban Meyer not know that his best player is not on the field for 16 freaking plays down by the end zone, in the red zone? I mean, what are you talking about? What are you looking at? The women up in the stands, seeing who you can grab after the game? I mean, gosh damn, what are you watching? How do you not watch and see, like, he's not? Why isn't Robinson? I'd be screaming my head off. Where's Robinson? Get him in here. You shut up. You're not in charge anymore. I am. Get your ass in there and let's go. Run the ball into the end zone. I mean, when is Urban Meyer going to take over this damn team? It's almost baffling.
Is he going to do that?
Well,
here's
a question I wonder. I've been thinking about this. What's the deal with Shad Khan? Hey, you know what? I don't really want to coach. But you want me to come in and be the face, the figurehead? You know what I'm saying? Like, how does he go from micromanaging in college to not in the pros? How?
Because I feel like he probably felt that he was
getting some bad advice, in my opinion. Well, whoever gave him the advice.
What are you talking about?
Well, this whole like, hey, just surround yourself with NFL guys and let them run it because they know better than you. No, you're the head coach. You take over. You decide. It's football.
But the difference is the age
of the players.
Nobody's disagreeing that the approach hasn't worked, but that's why he did the approach. I mean, to me, he came in and I don't think he felt comfortable ordering a bunch of guys around in an NFL environment. Gosh, that's not to say he's not ordering guys around.
I know what you're saying.
He is getting on his coaching staff reportedly very hard behind the scenes.
I've heard that.
But that he has abdicated like the down in, down out responsibility. You could call it delegate, abdicate, Mike, however you want to look at it.
And I agree with that, but to sit there and say when he's asked, hey, why was J Rob out for so long? I don't know. You gotta ask the coaches.
If you listen to us on Monday, we've already been through this. Trust me, nobody is defending that.
I know. That's why maybe I should move to Monday.
Maybe you should.
I'm sick of waiting around on Friday to get this out. No, I'm kidding.
All right. We'll come back. We got more from Bev coming up here. Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator of the Jaguars, speaking yesterday. Tony will take you around the league next. Give us your keys to victory this and every Friday. Hit us up on Twitter, the phone lines, or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, gems around the NFL. Brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
The NFL has suspended Tampa Bay wide receiver Antonio Brown and safety Mike Edwards for 3 games without pay for misrepresenting their vaccination status under the NFL-NFLPA COVID-19 protocols. They have accepted their punishment reportedly and waived their right to appeal. Brown was not expected to be able to play this week, would likely be out next week as well with an ankle injury. They will both be eligible to return on December 26th. The Las Vegas Raiders have designated cornerback Trayvon Mullen to return from their injured reserve list. Houston has designated linebacker Christian Kirksey to return from their injured reserve list, opening up the 21-day window for them to practice, and then a decision has to be made about adding them to the active roster. Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver DeSean Jackson did not participate in practice yesterday. He has a calf injury. His status for Sunday is unclear. Detroit running back DeAndre Swift will not be able to play this week due to a shoulder injury, so Jamal Williams will be getting the bulk of the work up there in Detroit. And around the AFC South this weekend, the 6-6 Indianapolis Colts are at the 2-9 Houston Texans Sunday at 1 o'clock. Tennessee has their bye this week, and at 8-4, they hold a 2-game lead over the Indianapolis Colts for the division lead going into the weekend.
All right, thank you, Tony. As Pro Football Talk pointed out, Bruce Arians, when they brought in Antonio Brown, said if he screws up one time, he's gone.
Oh.
But he'll be back in 3 weeks.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. I didn't say that part, but I added that right there at the end because coaches lie. Blindly
no.
Lie. Yes.
No.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
641-1010. Let's go out to the lines. Vince is in Mandarin.
Wow.
Next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Vince.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I know this sounds like an old story, but I honestly believe the team knowing this year they're really not all that good, and the incident that took place with Urban Meyer, I think there's certain players on that team that have lost respect for Urban Meyer. And I do believe that's a factor because that happens a lot in private industry, too, with bosses and stuff like that. So I just wanted to hear your opinion on that. I do believe that is a little bit of a problem for him. Thank you.
Sure. I wouldn't imagine that there wouldn't be certain players. Yeah. I mean, out of a 53-man roster, there had to be some that looked at that and said, what, this is the kind of the standard you're setting? Now you're going to tell us how to,
right,
you know, conduct ourselves? I'm sure that's human nature.
I'm sure there is. But, you know, look, your assistant coaches, your coordinators, you know, you could have a very tight relationship with them, and the head coach is just there for you. You know, it all depends. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think – again, I you know how I feel about Tom Coughlin. I love Tom, and even though I feared him at one time, I always loved him as my coach, but I never went and played for him. I didn't sit there going to win one for Tom. I'm going to win one for my team, my teammates. Yeah, I'm glad he's happy we won, and, you know, he's going to reward us, you know, when we win and kick our butt when we don't. You know what I mean? Like, so, I think, do people probably look at him and say – whatever. I'm not listening to you. Just whatever. I'll talk to my position coach and I'll talk to my coordinator, and that's enough. You know what I mean? So my point is, I think it gets a little overblown. Like, oh, they lost respect. They don't want to play from that.
Guys are playing for themselves anyway, right? I mean, they want to win. Right. They want to perform well. They, right. You know, for a myriad of reasons.
Right.
Get paid to, just because it's what they love to do. And
right.
And I find it hard to believe. I mean, I'm not saying there's never been a situation like that. But, you know, if you lose respect for the coach, what benefit is it? What are you going to get together and say, hey, we're all going to lose to make him look bad?
No, right.
I mean, because you're only making yourself look bad in the process.
That's right.
But,
no doubt. I mean, look, is there a factor? Sure. Should it be a big factor? No. Your professionals, your men, what he does on his time is his problem, not yours. Your job is to go win football games and win the battles that you're faced each and every play. So, I don't know. I think it gets a little overblown. Maybe college, you know, I could see that. The coach loses a team. High school loses a team. You know, I mean, look, if you've got players running rampant and nobody can – get to them, like assistant coaches or your coordinator, strength coach, nobody, then obviously there's a huge, huge problem. But just the head coach, I don't know if it's that big of a problem.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I don't know if we know, and maybe one day we'll find out more. You know what I mean? It's like one of those things, Tony, you don't know until the book is written by somebody down the line.
Well, yeah, and it's the National Football League. Right, yep. Like you watch these guys, if you go to the stadium every Sunday and they go through their warm-ups and they all huddle up and somebody gives a speech, the coach isn't the one giving that speech.
That's right.
Right, it's the players talking to one another that get each other fired up. That's who they're playing for, generally, as you're talking about, Tommy.
Yep.
It's not necessarily for the head coach. So, like you said, there's no way there's no players in that locker room that checked out on Urban Meyer when that happened. That was just like, whatever.
Right.
You know, I don't need to – this guy is doing whatever he's doing.
Yep.
I'm going to handle my own. Right. But it always comes back to I'm going to handle my own and it'll be for me and the guy next to me. That's why you do the job.
Yeah, I don't think that's the factor in where they're at. I think the factor is what we've been, you know, you guys spoken about ad nauseum. We've been speaking about it. Just the culture with Urban. Why aren't you taking what's going on? It just everything just seems and is just thinking, well, we'll just play the year out and then next year I'll say, hey, I learned and now I'm going to. Take more hands on. I don't know. To me, it just seems odd that with a guy like him, I don't care that he's never won in the NFL or didn't, you know, win in the NFL. He was won at the highest level in college I mean, he's big time. And for him not to sit there and be like, hey, I gotta take over. I gotta do something here. This is crazy. And Bevel and I are on, you know, look, Daryl Bevel, I don't even know Daryl Bevel. He's had a nice career as a coordinator. He's
had some good years, had some bad years.
Exactly. But, eventually, if he's not doing what you think is best for your team, that's the thing. Like, Urban, it's got to be what Urban thinks is best for his team. Sure, do you listen to your coaches? Of course you do. They're your support. You want to hear their input. What do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? Hey, what if we tried this? What if we tried? Yes, of course. But at the end of the day, you're the guy.
Of course it is.
You make the call. So if you don't like what Bevel's doing with your quarterback, then you do something about it. You not knowing the kid's not in the game, that's a big problem. And I think he did know, but why he's answering like that is really bizarre to me. You know, ask them.
Well, right. I mean, I don't know what he knows or doesn't know, but he's made a lot of comments that make you wonder.
No, I know.
Is he
all year
fully engaged in what's going on at any given moment? I'm not saying he's not engaged with the team. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
But like in any moment of what we see him there, I see two things from Urban Meyer, and I don't study him on the sidelines, but I see him there with his hands on his knees, watching.
Head down, too.
Right, with not really talking to anybody, or I see him celebrating with the players as they come off the field after they make a big play or get a big stop on third down or whatever, which is fine.
Yep.
You can do that, but I don't know. That's the impression. And look, I'm sure it's not as simple as – it appears to be, at least I would assume, right?
It's not easier said than done.
You know, we don't know what all the dynamic is and what's being discussed behind the scenes. I'd love to know what the conversation was like when Urban Meyer hired Daryl Bevel. Did he say, look, I'm hiring you because you're an NFL guy. You know it. I'm hands off. You run this thing.
He might have, Mike.
Right, he may have.
He may have.
And if that's the case, is he trying to live up to that, you know, or is he – we don't know. You know what I mean?
So I don't know this answer. I've never been a coach. But think about it. Is the pro coaching fraternity, so say it was opposite, and not so hard-lined opposite. Say he was more hands-on. Say he was like, no, we're doing it my way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the coach. You just, you know, you do what I tell. Just say, would the Are the NFL coach? Are they like college coach? I don't care what he's done in college. You know, I don't know. Maybe that is the culture where they're like, I'm not listening to
him. Tom, you were there. I mean, Tom Coughlin came from college. What was it like?
All did what he told them to do.
Right.
I mean, he ran the show.
But he made that clear from day one.
He did.
That was,
he did. He was hard on his assistants.
And Urban's been very much, I feel, in some ways, very positively open about, look, I know there are things I don't know. You know, like, and I'm not going to come in here and act like I have all the answers, having never coached in this league. Okay. But it does feel like there's a gap between that and, I don't know, go ask Bev and Bernie.
Right.
So.
So when, and then break that down. So what does he mean by that? Like, okay, the offenses that we ran in college, I don't know are going to work in the NFL, so I'm not even going to bother. Or is it, you know, hey, you know, I've never been in the NFL, so, you know.
Well, I think that's part of it. The former, I think, is part of it, Tone, that, mm-hmm. In college, you can run a lot of that read option stuff because the athlete's chasing you down. You might be faster than all of them.
But then go into like Trevor. So if you got Trevor, this generational talent, are you building an offense around him or fitting him into your offense?
Be building an offense. You should always be doing that.
They haven't done that. But they have not. I don't think they've.
I think that they look at him. This is my guess, is that Daryl Bevel looked at him and said, ultimately, this guy can win from the pocket where not that he won't ever, extend drives with his legs and things like that, but this guy, I think most NFL people feel like the gold standard is that quarterback that can stand in there, make every throw, scan the field, go through his reads, be composed under pressure, and they felt like he had all of it. And that it would be, this is my guess, that it would be doing him a disservice to kind of gimmick up a college-style thing we're going to go through the growing pains, and there are going to be some growing pains making this adjustment, but in the end, when he comes out the other side, he's going to be so much better, and this franchise will be so much better. That's my hope, that's what their approach was.
Yeah, it's just interesting. And then you hear, what McDaniels does with Jones. Just half the field, high to low. You got three options. If they're not there, throw it away or dump it off, right? Yep. They simplified it for him. Now, granted, maybe coming in, Trevor, no, he can see it all. He sees the entire field. He can go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, no problem if you give him time. But clearly that's not the case. So why wouldn't you go back to making it easier for him? Look, Mac Jones has done a phenomenal job. But part of it is because they've put him in position to do a phenomenal job.
Sure.
Right?
And two or three are getting open.
And they're getting open.
Part of it, too. It's hard. And we talked about the defense earlier on in the show this morning, and it's been kind of up and down on the year. But it's hard to even tell what they have on defense because they just don't score.
Yeah.
Ever. They just don't score. And the defense is so rarely in good positions on that side of the ball where they don't play with the lead ever. No. They certainly don't play with 2-score leads where you could actually find out what kind of pass rush you have.
Yep.
So they're just kind of playing on their heels basically from the beginning of games. And part of that's on them.
Yep.
You give up the 15-minute drive. That's on you and the mistakes that you're making. But sometimes it's not that. It's just your offense is going 3 and out. We're back on the field again.
Yeah, I just, at the end of the day, he's got to know X's and O's, Urban. He's done it he's been in the game his whole career. It's not rocket science. It's funny. Coaches act like, oh, this is so hard. It's not that hard to figure out, especially when you've been in the business for a few years. He's been in it for forever. At the end of the day, it's still football. The only difference between the college game and the NFL are the age of the players and how you got to motivate and manage them.
Well, and how many you can stack up.
And how many you can have.
Because if you're a recruiter, you can have,
of course,
unparalleled depth
of course
at certain programs.
But as far as getting them ready, you know what I mean? It's just
I got you, but if you've got better raw material, if every time a Jags player went down, you had a Pro Bowler ready to take their place.
Okay, but was he that naive to think that? You know what I mean? Like, come on, Urban, that's not the case.
I don't think you could be. But then he makes comments like, "Man, you get up here and it's like, wow, it's like we're playing Alabama every week." And it's like, that's what I'm saying. He says these things that make you wonder, like, what the hell he thought he was getting into.
Right.
And I can't believe he's that naive.
Right.
And I think he's trying to, in doing that, just be matter of fact and open. Like, man. Just showing like, hey, respect for all these opponents.
The league is as tough as I thought it was.
It's exactly as it's cracked up to be. And I'm not even saying he meant to insinuate that he didn't know that, But the way he's delivering that message has come across. Like no, I mean, when you say you don't know why your best player isn't on the field for as long as he wasn't on the field, clearly I don't know what other message you're supposed to infer other than he doesn't know what the hell is going on with
going
that.
On, right.
So
it's bizarre.
Let's take a timeout. Vince, thanks for the call. And we'll come back. We got more from Daryl Bevel coming up. If you want to react to anything going on with the Jags or make your keys to victory known, you can do it at 641-1010. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's bizarre to me. How does Urban Meyer not know that his best player is not on the field for 16 freaking plays down by the end zone, in the red zone? I mean, what are you talking about? How do you not watch and see, like, he's not? Why isn't Robinson? I'd be screaming my head off. Where's Robinson? Get him in here. You shut up. You're not in charge anymore. I am. Get your ass in there and let's go. Run the ball into the end zone. I mean, when is Urban Meyer going to take over this damn team?
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I heard a few table pounds.
Man.
For emphasis.
I thought his mic was on for a second.
Guy. Good question, Tommy. Yeah. Good question. At least, again, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. But the perception being given is oftentimes a guy that doesn't know what's going on with his own football.
You know, common sense gets lost these days, but common sense shows you that you should know, that you should just know, you know? Come on. It's common sense to know, isn't it?
I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
Could you imagine, again,
poor Bernie Parmalee, like, what?
Could you imagine?
Why you play?
Could you imagine if you asked Frank Reich, why hasn't Jonathan Taylor played for the last two series? And oh, God, really? I don't know. Why hasn't he been in there?
Wait, he wasn't in there?
You're telling me that was Nyheim Hines the whole time?
Wow.
I mean, like,
I didn't know he ran for 150 yards in the second half.
Running backs coach
incredible
about that.
Whoa.
So, I don't know. Maybe we're making too much out of it. I don't think we are. But
no, I don't either. Chink in the armor, Mike.
Yeah.
It's a chink in the armor.
All right. Let's hear from Daryl Bevel, Jags offensive coordinator. A few more comments from yesterday talking about the Rams' defense that his offense is going to face this week.
Great players, really, at all levels of their defense. Starts with their defensive line. You know, there's really no one better in the league than Aaron Donald. Then they added Von Miller, Leonard Floyd coming off the edge as well. I mean, just he's the sack leader, you know. And then, you know, Jalen Ramsey on the back end. So they have really talented players. They're well coached. They do a nice job. So it's going to be a huge challenge for us. And, the biggest issue ends up being handling the front. You know, you have to be able to protect the quarterback.
I'll tell you who they got to attack because I was watching them. When was their last, the Rams? They played
Green Bay this week.
That's right. Reader is a problem in coverage. Number 51, their linebacker.
Reader.
Yeah. You got to attack him. You got to get now. Granted, of course.
With what?
Exactly. Well,
yeah.
Somebody. Somebody in there.
Well, but definitely somebody. Yeah.
You do. He's good against the run, but he struggles in coverage. You could flat out tell that. So I would be definitely attacking him. And look, you do got to beat him up front. I don't know. Are you gonna? Probably not. You know, it's the job of the coordinator now. Because so if you're going in thinking, all right, my O-line's gonna have. Let's just brainstorm here, us four, while we're sitting here as buddies, right? Mm-hmm. We know going in, their D-line's probably going to penetrate. Let's just be conservative with that. So knowing that, how would you run your offense?
You want the ball out of Trevor's hands quickly.
Okay.
Right? That's one thing.
Slow him down a little bit.
Run it right at him.
Some screens. Yeah,
run it right at
trap.
The penetrators.
Yep. Traps, maybe. Game. Screens, you got to set up the screen, though. Can't just be like,
oh, sure.
you got to catch them off guard with the screen, right? So we know that's common sense, right? That's
I can't tell
simplistic.
You every particular
right.
about it, but we can all come up with a handful of
right. So
of
let's
things.
See if that happens, because that to me is like you should. That's easy to figure out. Like if you think Donald's going to be a problem and he's going to get up the field, you know what you do with those? You got to trap him. Easier said than done. Don't get
right,
me wrong.
You can do that. You can also roll the pocket.
Exactly.
Right? You know, roll it and hopefully roll it to the right so yep. Trevor's going to his throwing
to
side.
His throwing side, right?
He does like to roll left a lot, yep. You know, and he has the athleticism to make that throw better than most, but it's still a difficult throw to make.
Absolutely. No.
I'm glad Daryl Bevel brought up Leonard Floyd because it's easy to forget that guy.
No, right.
And he's a very good pass rusher, but obviously he benefits from the presence now of he was doing it. He was having a great year before Von Miller got there.
Yep.
But when you have Aaron Donald, man, that's the first priority. You got to know where that guy is, and two guys are trying to handle him on every snap. Yep. So, you know, it's a cascading effect. You got a double team here, then what's going on at the edge right next to him, and you've got Floyd coming from an outside linebacker spot, and he can wreck your day.
Absolutely. I mean, look, we also seen Von Miller. I mean, if you run at him, he, you know, you may be able to get a little push on him.
Right, that's what I said. You got to try to run right at the pass rushers, totally. I think.
Absolutely.
You know?
Double down on that, the three technique.
You have to be aware of where your running back is.
Yeah. Great to have a blocking fullback. Do we have a blocking fullback?
No.
No.
Do we have a blocking tight end?
We got Manhurts
in the backfield as
we
a fullback?
We do have Manhurts. Manhurts is a jack of all trades. We could use LaVisca. That doesn't require you to catch the ball, so he could probably get that done.
That's interesting.
Who do they put in the game when
there's hardly any blocking fullbacks left in the league.
A defensive lineman or somebody they put in there to play fullback.
Down at the goal line.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like how many teams line up with a fullback? I mean, Juszczyk is a pass catcher.
Yeah.
Patrick Ricard.
He's a blocker.
What he's most known for because he touches the ball as a fullback.
Right.
There aren't many teams that line up. I mean, everyone's going three wide with a tight end in their back.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Or four wide in some cases.
Well, I don't, you know, look, it's going to be a tall order. There's no doubt about it. The thing that I'm most concerned of is that L.A. needs a victory, and I'm sure McVay's sitting there going, look, last year the Jets came in here and beat us, which, of course, helped the Jags, and not that that matters. That's not his message, but he's like, you can't overlook this team. So, and then it's three-game slide. That's what I'm thinking. You're kind of like the perfect storm you're going into, and you better be ready.
And on top, I don't know how much this matters, but – as much as he can keep them on point, Jalen Ramsey's not going to let anybody. I mean, this is – are you kidding me? If there's one game that he wants to win the rest of the season, it's this one.
Absolutely.
You know, barring postseason action. Yep. But so, I think actually, and, you know, talking about keys to victory, I think getting Jalen – getting in his head a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I'd try to, you know, take some shots. I'd take some shots because whatever. He's going to break up some passes, sure.
Yep.
But if you could get a big play on Jalen and get him pointing fingers early in that game, I'm not saying that's enough, but I'd try it.
I might even, you know, tell my wideouts, hey, get in his head.
A little chirping.
Get in his head. He's going to chirp back. Start talking about some things about him.
Yeah.
Get after him a little.
You want to take a swing, Jalen?
What do they call that?
By the way, I meant that because we haven't had you in 2 weeks. How do you feel about it? Were you happy with the Rayshon Jenkins personal foul that got him tossed? You were calling one.
You mean after he got manhandled by the guy and then waited for everyone to come around before he took the swing?
Yes.
Sure.
Was that a good one?
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't know if that fit in your category of we need to take a personal foul.
I mean, look, that guy was manhandling him. He was frustrated. I get it. But to throw a half-ass slap, really, at that moment, the guy's helmet's off, your helmet's on, and you wait for everyone to come around. You had a chance to get him. I watched. You could have got him way before anybody even noticed, but you didn't. So
would have been better if he had got him early and gotten tossed. Would that have helped?
What's that?
If he had gone after him earlier and
– obviously, the penalty's bad. That's not the kind of personal foul I'm looking for. You know, hitting a QB in the head and knocking him out of the game, I'll take that. You know what I mean? But slapping a guy and you're the only one that's getting thrown out.
I just wanted to see
there's no collateral damage. No,
it's not.
I just thought it was weak, to be honest with you. Thanks for bringing it up.
You're welcome.
You guys were. It was away from the play.
Yeah.
You saw it happen right when they locked up. They were going at it and they were both pushing each other and he kind of got manhandled and the helmet comes off and then he waits for everyone to come around.
Here we go.
Know. We call that something up north, but I. Can't remember what it is.
Oh, maybe it'll come to you on the break here in a few minutes.
No, I don't know if it will.
We'll
I don't know. Look, I'm sure he's a tough guy, but that was just weak. It was like, come on. I get your frustration, but come on. Seriously? Like, okay. Punch him in the stomach when no one's looking. Crack his rib. You know what I mean? I mean, whatever.
When is no one looking on the
– No. How about when you first going at it? Give him an uppercut, you know? You want to play that kind of game, you know? Hey, if you're quick enough with the hands, they may or may not see it.
So include the uppercut in the form tackle.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. How about a forearm under the chin?
Ref, I was trying
how about
to,
an ear hole
to punch
shot.
The ball out. I didn't realize he wasn't holding it up at his face.
Yeah. Whatever. I just thought the way that went down, it was pretty weak.
Daryl Bevel yesterday was also asked about something we've talked about on the show before, is third down offense for this football team has been pretty atrocious for the most part this year. Yeah. It does feel like it's been a little bit better, but still not great the last couple of weeks. But Daryl Bevel was asked about where they're at on third downs right now.
Yeah, last couple of weeks been better. I mean, you know, we've talked in here about you get what you emphasize, but I think one of the things that really helped us last week was staying in better down and distance situations. I think six of them were third and ones, and one of those six was in that 2 minute, you know, it was third and one with 10 seconds to go. So, you know, you'd like to play that one different, but the game dictated that one. So the short yardage was really good. So that helped us. And, you know, then there was a couple opportunities we made plays and we were able to do that.
All right.
What was the one? What was he talking about? The one that dictated the what one is he talking
at the end of the first half? I think is the one that he's talking about.
What happened again? I forget.
They got the interception,
right?
And then they had run a couple plays, and it was a third and one. They're out of field goal range, so they got to try the Hail Mary.
Right, at the end of the half. Gotcha. Yeah, that dictated the game.
Yeah.
Get what you emphasize, he says. You get what you emphasize.
Can we emphasize points? Like to get those.
How about manifest it? You know, just think it.
Think it into existence.
Yeah, think it into existence.
Speak it.
Score.
All right, one more from Daryl Bevel, Bev, as he's better known as sometimes.
No, Bev DeVoe, baby.
What did you call him?
Bev DeVoe.
I know. Instead of Bell Bev DeVoe.
Oh, Bell Bev. I wasn't sure you went. I got you.
Down.
Didn't hear you.
Come on. That was pretty good, Pretty good.
It's not bad.
It was something. Why Daryl Bevel likes the read option with Trevor Lawrence?
Just the options that you have on it. And, I go back to my Seattle days and we kind of talked about free yards, you know, where you can get the quarterback on the edge and, you know, there's clearer space and, you're not having to make a guy miss in the hole. You're not having a safety to, you know, a receiver have to come dig out a safety and make some tough blocks. You can get it out there in space and some better things can happen when you're out there.
It's interesting because I think the feeling is that Urban Meyer wants to do more of that. Daryl Bevel wants him to be more of a pocket guy. Here's Daryl Bevel
talking
saying,
this is
good. I like this. We can we can work with this. You know, obviously, that's not the basis of your offense, but
on occasion,
that seemed like he was fine with those kind of plays.
That's what I was thinking, the same thing.
That's, I mean,
telepathy.
We've gotten a lot of that. You know, there's not a lot of straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I want. Like, I don't know what Urban Meyer wants out of this offense.
No, right.
You know, ask Daryl Bevel, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and what you heard was he's like, we don't want to get our quarterback killed. But in read option, the quarterback keeps the ball. He has the potential of getting killed.
Sure.
Easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody can come up and whack the QB no matter how good he is.
Right. But,
you know what I'm saying?
You know, there's also, the RPO stuff. You know, we're talking about this with Bucky Brooks. Like, you can run, you know, the run pass option, in other words, like I either hand it to James Robinson or I'm pulling it out with the intention of throwing the football. It's like it's a quick thing as opposed to I'm reading the defensive end.
Right.
And keeping if he's crashing in, I'm going to take off and run. And that's the play. So there's, you know, a little bit of a difference.
Right.
In terms of that. But, you know, whatever it is, having that delayed handoff is a staple of NFL offenses. At least it's becoming a staple.
Well, the read option's a staple of the RPO, isn't it?
It can
be. It's part of the RPO.
I think you have to
have that
threat to make it as effective as possible. Okay. But there's some of the just I'm either going to hand it to Robinson or I'm going to pop up, and we got a route coming in right behind that.
Yep.
That if that, you know, if they're defending it one way, I'm going to give it to them. If they're defending, that you got to make that decision quick because if these offensive linemen are firing off the ball,
right?
And if you hand it to Robinson, they can't be pass blocking.
No.
That's got to
– and vice versa.
That's got to happen quick.
Yeah.
Well,
whatever. Again, get him comfortable. But if that makes him comfortable, Trevor –
you said the tempo, up-tempo he liked a little bit better
last week. I liked it, too. I always like up-tempo because it puts a lot of pressure on the defense.
Yeah.
To get your call in and get it to everybody. And you got to be hustling. Just to get the call in and getting everybody on the same page. So it takes a little wind out of you.
Maybe
so
that will be one of your keys to victory. We'll do that coming up next. We'll check in, Mike, with the folks out there, what they sent in on social media. It is a Keys to Victory Friday. We'll go around the table a few times. Can we come up with a dozen? There's probably a lot more than a dozen keys if the Jags are going to win this game.
They need to do 20 things.
All right, the top 20 things the Jaguars need to do to win on Sunday. Coming back on the other side, you're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, the instant keys to victory.
The keys, yeah, that's right, about the keys.
Instant keys, fast, professional, honest locksmith service.
Every Friday, we dig into the Instant Keys, Keys to Victory for your Jacksonville Jaguars. I will just read you the most recent one.
Oh.
If you haven't seen this one. From Hipster Jag. Throw at Jalen. And by that, I mean at Jalen. Right in the giblets. Longest yard style. Over and over until he doesn't get up. If that's not open, have an off-the-ball receiver drill him on every route.
There we go.
So
I love it. That's a good one.
Tom McManus has one more game. He's ready to suit up one more time. Give you two good series, and it's all going to be giblets. That's
something right. is happening with the Jaguars. They've signed
Tom McManus.
Wow. He's specialized. He's a specialty.
I didn't know the NFL player. Allowed brass knuckles.
I didn't mean to kick him.
What was it? Last Boy Scout, right? I'm not suggesting anyone shoot him, but
right.
That was last Boy Scout.
Yeah, that's funny. That was just on the other night.
That's a good movie.
Great movie.
You know that actually, we did an all sports movie draft on SiriusXM. We did a lot of fun off season like fantasy drafts. You know, and that was one.
That's
that,
a good one.
That actually got picked in the last round. Yeah, last
like
Boy
a wild
Scout.
Card wow. pick kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
kind of,
yeah.
What was the first? What's the first overall in that? And something like that. Do you remember?
Had a gut.
Sports movie?
Yeah.
Gosh.
Sports movie that what?
That went first overall.
I don't know if it was
top pick.
Rocky or.
That went where? Oh, first overall.
First
thing,
overall
yeah.
sports movie bracket I mean, it, like that, yeah.
Like, I mean, if you, I don't know what went in that particular one, but I would bet like Rocky, Hoosiers.
Hoosiers was great.
Rudy, know, maybe.
It depends. Rudy, like I think Rudy's. Whatever.
Like a Raging Bull or something.
You know,
like
Raging Bull.
You know, the last scene in Rudy was filmed during the halftime of BC playing Notre Dame my last year.
Is that right? Did you want to go up and crush him in the giblets?
Well, I wanted to kill him because we were getting killed. I mean, they beat the crap out of us. But they did. And when you see it in the film, you see a bunch of maroon in the stands because our fans are in the stands.
How about that? Mm-hmm. I do believe, wasn't it, Joe Montana?
Rudy would have never made it at Boston College. He'd have got his ass beat.
I think he went on the Jim Rome show years back and was like, man, that story was all BS.
Yeah.
Like, just that was like
really?
Straight BS.
Wow.
Like, yeah, this is like, you know, just made a myth out of nothing.
One of my favorites is North Dallas 40. That's a great football movie.
There you
that's
go.
An old one, but that's a great one.
We've retired that show, by the way. For the
official. We did?
Oh, no, you can bring that. I'm just
it's
saying.
It's too, like, we too used old.
To, it's like an old crutch sports radio thing. Every summer, it's the greatest sports movies, and people just call up and name a movie, and it's like, okay, we get it. There are a bunch
Brian
of sports
Song.
Movies out there. That is a good one.
That's
I think
a great
I drafted
one.
Brian Song, as
did
a matter
you?
Of fact.
Did you? That was a great
in
movie.
In that draft.
Yeah.
We'd always do like six rounds or whatever. We had some fun drafts.
Yep.
This offseason.
Yep.
We're going to have another fun draft, right?
Maybe if D-Rock buys us all breakfast next week, we could have a fun draft. That'd be good. We had Jimmy Smith on. We did an all-time wide receiver draft. Not fantasy, just like who's the all-time wide receiver team. And I had the second pick, and Jimmy hit the first pick, so I got Jerry Rice. Because Jimmy wasn't going to pick somebody not named Jimmy Smith. Let's just say that. So I was like, I feel like
that's
I won the
great.
Draft already. I got the goat at number two. It's over.
That's hilarious.
It's over. All right. So hit him in the giblets. Tony, what else we get on Twitter today?
Let me pull that up here in just a moment.
Okay.
It's taking its time pulling up here. From Floyd Chenault in the backfield. Defense keeps everything in front of them. And lastly, no boneheaded plays or penalties from Scott Till, whoever it is that thinks J-Rob should sit out 16 plays in a row. To stay the hell home. Run James Robinson and get some turnovers from Mason. Show up on the West Coast, not something the Jaguars have done often. Mix up the offense and play to Trevor's skill set. No turnovers on offense. Come on, Jags. And from Baxter, make sure Trevor doesn't get hurt. Two pass touchdowns so people will settle down and develop the young guys. I'm looking at you, Andre Cisco. Let's see how much he gets to play.
All right, let's go quickly around the table a couple times. Also, here's in all seriousness, find a way to get some pressure early on Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford in both the Tennessee game and what was the San Fran game had two early picks, two pick sixes, a pick six in each game, but two interceptions in each of those contests. So get that thought process going like, oh, damn, here we go again. Really, they're going to do this to us? You know, so find a way to make Matt Stafford uncomfortable early in this football game and see if you can get some mistakes out of the Rams offense.
My turn?
Sure.
I'm going to say 27 touches for James Robinson, run or pass. 27 total.
27
Get him
touches.
That many, Mont, and I promise you he will perform.
Okay, ET?
Get the ball out of Trevor's hands quick. So that means LaVisca needs to have a big game, whether it's a bubble screen, whether you're handing it off to LaVisca, slants, whatever. Get the ball out of Trevor's hands quick.
Okay.
Turnovers are always a big story in any football game. This Rams defense, when they force two or more turnovers this year, are 5-0. Now, they've done it five times. Jacksonville is dreaming of forcing two turnovers in a game five times at some point over the course of 2 years with the way they turn opponents over right now. But Jaguars turned the ball over two times on Sunday. They're dead, essentially, against the LA Rams.
I'm going to say, I said it before, and I really mean it. Don't be afraid of Jalen Ramsey. Don't be stupid if he's got your guy blanketed, but don't be afraid to take a shot or two, because I think you can, you know, if he gives up a big play, we've seen it before. He starts looking around like, this ain't my fault, this ain't my fault. And if you could get in his head early, I mean, again, I don't know if you're going to be able to have that kind of success, but I would take a chance and try to do it.
I'm attacking Troy Reader in the pass game. If I'm the Jags, whoever my tight end is, it could be a slot, get him in, you know, motion him in so that linebacker has to take him. But Troy Reader, in my opinion, can be had in pass coverage.
ET, you got one?
Ain't like we need to help this team out anymore. You know, they're pretty good. So let's not help them out with penalties, man.
Oh,
so let's try to limit that. Yeah. Please.
Honestly, that could be like the number one thing. Don't, yeah. Just like if you're off the field, stay off the damn field. Yeah. Right? Like,
no leverage.
Stupid. What about open hand slap?
It depends how you
depends the situation.
It depends. It does. I'm sorry. It does.
Just checking.
In my opinion.
The number to me defensively is 350 yards allowed to the Rams. When they've been held under that number, they are 0-3 this season. It's a tall task. They are an explosive offense, but if they can keep them under that number, they give themselves a chance.
I'll say, if Matt Stafford's sitting back there looking like Matt Ryan was this past week, forget it, man. Yep. And not with the, you know, not with, look, you can't like, Tyler Higbee. Like he pops up every once in a while. This can't be one of the weeks he pops up with like 80 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. You know?
How about nobody wide open, especially from the tight end position? That'd be a good one.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp, thinking it will be wide open a couple of times.
He's gonna be open, I would imagine.
In this game.
You know, I mean, look, I hate to go old school, but take Stafford out. However you got
for dinner.
Go. Take him out.
Like Saturday night for dinner?
Sure. Take him out and slam his head into the cement.
Oh, dear. All right. We'll end on that note, E. Right there. I think that's a great visual for the weekend to come.
Stafford
here.
Cement slap.
Just for
the show.
Just for the night. It's not a big deal. He'll wake up and he'll put some ice on his head and he'll be fine. He'll be able to ready to play the next week.
All right. Who are we talking to, E, today? We got Joe C, XL Primetime coming up. So let's do that.
Now, the two-minute drill, brought to you by Tire Outlet. Tire Outlet is now hiring. Visit TireOutlet.com/careers, equal opportunity employer.
All right, Joe is at Splits Bowling in Orange Park this morning. Joe C, what's going on out there, man?
Yeah, we're going to try and bowl some 300s today. We'll find out if we can do it. But we're out here with Tulane Lager, and later on tonight, this place gets packed. It's an arcade, you know, for the kids, bowling, a nice bar, big screens for all the football games on Saturday. But Tulane Lager will have the ladies out here later on tonight with a chance to win a bunch of, you know, Tulane Lager stuff and a Luke Bryan autographed guitar. So we're just kind of setting the table for them today, which will be fun. So we're going to be talking a bunch of college football. We're going to try and do it in our best Southern accent.
I bet you
guys
will.
Know I can go country anytime. And in honor of Les Miles now down in Louisiana. So,
or Brian Hill.
Yeah, excuse me.
We all knew who you were talking about. It's
thank
all
you
good.
Hey, thank you very much.
A couple of Northern interlopers there. They're paired up. All right, Joe, have a good show out there, man. Have fun.
All right, man, thanks.
All right, Splits in Orange Park is where they're at. I think every time bowling comes up, I ask you, haven't you bowled? Weren't you like a really good bowler at one point?
I was a league bowler for a year, and my average that year was right around 230.
Wow, that's a good bowl.
I thought you were talking to me, Mike. I thought you were talking to Mr. 300, Mr. Turkey, Mr. Turkey season over here.
Did you bowl a 300?
Never.
Okay. Didn't think so.
A turkey's what? Three strikes in a row.
Yeah. I have done a couple of those before.
Yeah, I would probably all have.
That's why I call myself.
But I don't think
turkey.
I ever broke like 175.
Do you spin it?
That would be really. Called English. Maybe.
Do you tone? Were you a spinner?
I was.
So do you put your fingers in the holes or keep them out? Like just palm it?
I would palm it.
Really?
Yeah.
You just throw it that way?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I had a not even English the thumb?
No.
Wow. Yeah, how do they? I'll most the people, most
I can get more spin on it.
And you want the spin just to get it going all the
time. I mean, you got to get used to it, but yeah.
I feel like power through and knock them all down.
Yeah, me too.
Would work.
Right, straight at. Straight
it works.
Coming down the middle. Throw as hard as I can down the middle. And
one arrow off center and put it right there in the 1-3 pocket. All right, what's your score this week, Tom?
Oh, I think it's an ass whooping.
Think they're
going to
beat them that bad, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to go 37-19.
37-19.
And they're going to get like the last seven on the last drive when it doesn't matter, and everyone's going to say we've gotten better.
Okay, so
ET. That's what I.
Oh man, I'm going to go. 28-17.
28-17. Who?
Rams.
Rams.
Okay. Yeah, I picked the Rams.
I sense that.
Just making sure.
Tony?
31-13 Rams.
Okay, I'm doing 27-10 Rams. So
31-13 is kind of, you know, that's a whoop.
Hey, Jags, go get one more point than the Rams this weekend, and we will celebrate you.
Just
like,
don't get your quarterback killed. That's what I hope. That doesn't happen to our QB.
That's a big factor.
That
yes.
could be. I mean, look, they're I don't know. This may be that, you know, what do they call it? The buzzsaw. Like, they've lost three in a row. They got to win
West
this
Coast
game.
Trip.
You know? I don't feel good about it. It's kind of like when Pony Boy was talking about the Rumble. I don't feel good. Something bad's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen out there,
those
Mike.
Those dirty Sochas, man. You
they
watch
were.
Out for them.
They were, man, the Sochas.
All right. Well, call ET.
Except Cherry. We like
weekend,
Cherry.
207-7071 and make a bold prediction for this weekend. Or a bold, what is it, E? Bold statement prediction?
Yeah, bold prediction, bold statement, but say it with your chest. Come on, somebody.
All right, there you go. Everybody have a good weekend. Thanks for listening this week. Again, thanks for raising nearly $250,000 for the J Fund this week. So no matter what happens on the gridiron, hopefully you feel good about your efforts as we head into the month of December. Go Jags, and we'll talk to you Sunday on the broadcast. Until then, XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville.
Who want to eat a W?
Two more.